For he is Lord.
For he is Lord. And he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like to take care of this. Now, Billy, nobody killed you today, son. Nobody shot you. Nobody throwed anything at you. I didn't feel one person criticize you, so you survived it today. But because I love you, I will be honest with you. You're a better preacher than you are song leader. So, next step. Some of the young men in this church, my grandsons in particular, told me their admiration for you when you preached the last time and they heard you. And they said, Grandpa, how does he do that? I said, because Billy has that in his heart. And that's what I believe about you. So I'm going to embarrass you to the daylights. How many of you praying for him?
Amen.
It's not easy. If you don't believe it, well, let me start something on you. You know, it'd be very easy just to anybody that you didn't like or crossed you some way, just sometimes the slightest remark, people are just ready to pick it up and run with it. But that's what Brother Branham said was covered up. Don't mention it. You have no right to bring it up if he's repented and put it under the blood. But how tough it must be. It's no different than what they did. Crucify him!
Yes,
right. He had done nothing wrong.
That's right.
We're all sinners.
Yes.
Billy Wiggins included. He deserved death, hell, and all. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
he can stand before us and say, create within me a clean heart.
Amen.
A right spirit in all of it. You know, the conversation Brother Aaron said he had today with the brother about me and my attitude. You know, we shouldn't even have to talk about things like that. For Christians, it ought to be accepted that we have an attitude that we're going to love one another.
Amen.
That's just an unwritten law with God that we love one another. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's sing Longing for Jesus tonight, James, before you go down. Sing it with me, will you? Longing, you long for him tonight.
Longing for Jesus.
I mean it as you sing.
For
just to be near him. To feel his presence.
I have a longing in my heart for him.
What? Sing it again.
Yes, longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Just to be here, to feel his presence. I have a longing in my heart for him.
There's an old, old song. It's an invitation song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Let's sing that to him tonight.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my heart. see a crimson stream of love. It flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne. Again. I see a crimson stream of love. It flows from Calvary. Its ways which reach the throne of God.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to read tonight 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First read verses 9 through 12. Make some comments, then we'll read the remainder of the chapter. I'm sure it's one that you have all heard. You're very familiar with it. It's the one that tells us what's going to happen to the dead in Christ. But first of all, let me just challenge you in your thinking. Do you know who wrote this? Of course, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that Paul, the apostle, he wrote this not on his own inspiration, but under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And remember that Paul was a student under Gamaliel. And he was a member of the Sanhedrin. What we know about Paul, and the first time we hear about him, is that it's in the book of Acts, and they're stoning Stephen to death. And there is a young man watching this happen, and the people who are casting the stones put their coats and their cloaks at this young man's feet. And it is Saul, later who we meet and know as Saul of Tarsus. He later has the experience that we call on the road to Damascus, but let me reverse this in your thought pattern and remind you that I'm talking about the same man who was the first church age messenger.
Amen.
The one that wrote 2/3 of our New Testament.
Right.
And we call him the Apostle Paul. But look at his life at the beginning and the experience that he had. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement that Paul, or Saul at that time was his name, never saw Jesus. But he was alive and on earth at the time that Jesus was. In fact, history tells us that he was about the same age. I think that everything I've read in history says that he was younger than Jesus and John the Baptist, because he wasn't one of those that would face the death at the sword of the of Herod's edict to kill all the boys 2 years and under. That he was born after that, so he was younger than Jesus. But remember now that Jesus was 33 at the time of the crucifixion. So this would have put Paul in his early 30s. Who do we have here, a young man tonight that's 30, in his early 30s? Anybody? Everybody's older, young. Stand up. Oh, Brother James? 35? Well, stand up. Let's just see. I mean, did you have, point one down here, too?
Billy.
Oh, Billy himself. Who's that standing up in the very back?
Micah.
Oh, Micah. Williams? I'm sorry. I can't see because of that door back there. I'm going to request now that we get some solid wooden doors back there. First, for two or three reasons. One, that this line don't blind me. And second, because I don't see all the activities in the fellowship hall. And you, brother, you're from Phoenix, aren't you? But look at these young men. Now remember that the people in the Bible were just human beings like they are. And and God dealt with them.
Amen.
You may be seated, brothers. And Paul, after his conversion, had the road to Damascus experience, and he'd gone through the time when he thought he knew so much, and that he knew it better than anybody else, and he was politically correct, and he was doing what the chief priest and them wanted done and didn't have courage to do. And remember, these were men who had just experienced this resurrection that I'm telling you about. Even though they had witnessed these events, they still had it in their heart and mind and in their procedure, we don't want this Christ. Even though they knew he had risen from the dead and ascended on high and had seen the supernatural, they still allowed Paul, Saul was his name then, to do and commit the crimes that he did against God's people. And you think sometimes, why do people nowadays do what they do when they know better? It's because human nature hasn't changed.
Amen.
Now, let me say it to you just plainly. It may hurt somebody's feelings, but I'm accustomed to doing that because it's time that we don't play church or play with people's feelings. That
Amen.
Main thing is let's just get right with God.
Yes.
There was a lot of people here this morning that's not here tonight.
Yes.
And I, as their pastor, I mentioned this morning that I was going to talk about some of these things that maybe they had never heard before about what these dead in Christ were. And I'm disappointed that people have no interest in it. I think if they really believed it had happened, and they were enthused about what's going to happen right now, they would be curious about these things if nothing else. But you know what? Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. And I'm not putting anybody out, but I'm saying this, that it's time that we all paid attention.
Yes, amen.
That what we've heard, let's be doers of it, not just hearers only.
Yes.
That we may do it right. Now, Paul, as I said, he was there. Brother Branham said he did not see Jesus. And I did ask Brother Branham one time, why didn't Paul see him? Brother Branham said that he believed what he told me, that Paul, being who he was predestinated to be, if he'd have seen him, how would he have been able to turn him down?
Yes.
How would he have ever been able to say, well, that man is not true? There's no way that Paul, being a church-age messenger, seeing the truth, would have been able to walk away from it like others did. Because the first time that he saw Jesus, even in a pillar of fire, when he'd been taught to not call anything Lord,
right,
he violated all of that teaching. And he said, Lord.
Yes.
Called him Elohim.
Amen.
And from then on, he was not disobedient to that vision that came. But now, here it is that Paul, years later, he's been to the churches in throughout Asia, and he's established many of them. And at one place he was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead. Do you know what city that was? Anybody know which city? Oh my. And the scripture later on tells us that they drug him out and left him for dead. And then when Paul went to the next city, he said they're more honorable here than they are at that place. Because here they search the scriptures in case these things be so. And that's always been good advice. When you hear something, search the scriptures.
Amen.
See if the things you hear, if they're so. And if they are, then it doesn't matter what the denomination says or what this other brother said. Say what the word said, what the scripture says.
Yeah.
That's the reason God gave them to us, is because it's the government of it. But now, Paul, going through those experiences, he come across these people and they were saying, well, now, we believe that Jesus was the Son of God and he was crucified. and we believe he's coming back. But what about these people who have died? Well, then they're not going to be that. And this is what Paul is answering this question. So let's read Paul how we get into this subject about seeing our loved ones to start off with. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. In other words, folks, that's a given.
Amen.
Nobody should have to tell you you are to love one another. I mean, that's just basic law of God. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more.
Amen.
You're doing a good job, but improve, do better about it. And that you study to be quiet. And this is one place where it really gets blunt. Mind your own business. What good advice. To work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You know, and I, when I read this scripture last night and again today, I was especially impressed with it. I think it's time now, folks, that we all just work. You know, there's a four-letter word that's the cure for poverty. W-O-R-K. Work. A lot of people are looking for positions. They're not looking for jobs. Man, when I was a young man, if I could have got a job flipping hamburgers, I thought I was something. My first job was $1 a day, 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, washing dishes in the Strickland Hotel in Maryville, Louisiana, at the age of 9. And I was glad to have it, and no mother didn't have to get me up and send me off to work. I was glad to go. I worked 5 weeks. That's 35 days. I got paid $1 a day. I made $35. I spent $1 of it on a bus ticket from Maryville to DeRidder and bought myself a $34 Bulova wristwatch. I was the only kid in town with a wristwatch. Now then, kids can have them for $1.98. They keep better time than that. So, but anyway, that was just my beginning of working. I've always found if I want something, work for it. And you can do it if you just work at it. But not I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now this was a question. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Now comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
This is something not judgmental. This is something to look forward to it.
Yes. Right.
It's something to rejoice about.
Amen.
And if you really believe this, then those that are asleep in Christ, don't worry about them. They're going to precede you. Now, this is what people knew about the dead in Christ from the scriptures until Brother Branham, the seventh church age messenger, comes along and he puts a new perspective on it. And it seems that he, somewhere or another, gets an understanding that the resurrection is going to be a little different than what most people have got it figured out to be. Like they had the rapture in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when he talks about that's the change. And the shout that'll come, and it'll come from the east and the west and like lightning, and people will be shouting, hey, extra, extra, read all about it. And Brother Bram come along and said it'll be a secret. My wife's dad used to have a picture on his desk in his office, and had a picture called The Rapture. It had a cemetery and homes and people being raptured, taken away out of their cars, and the cars going off in the ditches and so forth, and the graves being empty. And Brother Branham taught us, it's just not going to be that way. That was the mental picture that people had of it. But when Brother Branham comes along and teaches us, and he introduces the thought to us as angels, then we come back, and at least myself, I assess the scriptures when it says, like I read to you in Matthew and Mark this morning, that angels are going to be involved in this. He's going to send his angels to gather them. They are the reapers. They're going to blow the trumpet. They're going to have this. And I know what Brother Branham said in the rapture, but the Lord would, and I'll get to that. But here's the strange thing to me now, that I just have to speak it because I got no other way to say it. But how is the rapture going to take place the way Matthew and Mark says it, and the way Paul says it, and the way Brother Branham teaches it, if we don't have angels now? The majority of the people that claim to be message followers to this day will tell you that there's not been an angel do anything since Brother Branham left. In fact, they will go so far to tell you that God has done nothing. And that nothing will happen until Brother Branham comes back. Now, they may be right, but I don't hear Brother Branham say that anywhere. But instead, I hear Brother Branham talk about the things that God's going to do to his people now. And that's the things I want to get into you tonight about seeing our loved ones. I read you the scriptures this morning from Matthew and Mark about the trumpet, about the sounding, about him sending his angels, gathering them from the four corners. And then I just read you from the Bible where it talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Brother Branham quotes that a number of times. The dead in Christ will be first. And he adds something to it. See our loved ones. And there's 13 times he mentions it. And I concluded this morning to tell you that 9 out of that 13, he says it in 62, 63, 64, and 65. First time he says it's in 49. So it wasn't something that Brother Branham started later, and it wasn't something he said earlier and then didn't repeat at the end. But after he preached the seals, he seemed to emphasize it more and gave greater detail about it. Amen. Now, it was only at Brother Branham's sermon, Rapture, which was one of his last sermons, which, by the way, he did not release that sermon. Brother Branham, for some reason, wanted to hold that sermon. I think, personally, it's because he knew how much confusion it was going to bring and how much people were going to take and do it. Because the other 6 sermons that he did not release, I can point the things out to you that today they are a controversial thing, and there's a tangent or segment of each one of them. And it's not that Brother Branham said it wrong, but he just knew people would misunderstand it, and they've established a doctrine or teaching of it. But I think if you keep your balance in the scriptures, you can take it and you can understand it. But it's in the rapture tape that Brother Branham mentions the Old Testament saints from Matthew 27, rising from the dead, and he just tells a little story. Abraham and Sarah walking down the street. Abraham says, "Sarah, they recognize us. Let's leave here. Let's get out of here." And you know what? That becomes gospel. How many believe that Sarah and Abraham, raised from the dead, walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and somebody recognized them, and Abraham said, "Let's get out of here"? Sure, I don't have any problem with it. Why? Because Brother Branham said it. But when some people hear him say it, they want to take that, and that's all they want to believe about it. But Brother Branham said, don't take something and say, period.
Right.
Take something and try to understand it and apply it in your life, but keep your balance in the scriptures. Now, We know that when those people rose from the dead, that according to what Brother Branham said, and we know that Jesus, from the day that he rose from the dead till the day he ascended on high, it was 40 days. And so Brother Branham twice says on tape that the dead in Christ will rise and will be with us about a month or so, or 40 days. And I ask you the question this morning. I do ask it sincerely and humbly, because I don't know any other way to say it. And what would you do if he'd have said it to you? But Brother Branham said to me, Brother Green, he said, Brother Perry, the dead in Christ will rise and be with us a minimum, he said, of 30 days. A minimum of 30 days. Well, I'd never heard that before. I never heard Brother Branham say that. I'd never heard anybody preach it. But I stand before you tonight and say, was there some purpose that Brother Branham said that to me? I don't believe that Brother Branham did anything in vain. By that I mean unnecessary. And I found that so many other things that he said to me about how to know the will of God in the green lights has been a blessing to so many people. The fivefold ministry to hand. Those things which I don't know that he talked to anybody else about. I say, you don't have to believe them to be saved. But I'll tell you this, they've been a blessing to me. Amen. And a lot of other people. And the birds flying over your head.
Yeah.
And they don't let them build a nest. And you know, God is faithful. If you confess your sins, he forgives you. There's things like that that I'm glad he said them.
Yes, amen.
I'm glad he told me so that I could share it with you. And that's the only reason. It's not because he said it to me is what makes it true. But the thing that affects me about this is I accept the challenge. And I wonder, is there something about this 40 days we should pay attention to? And then so when I'm reading the manuscripts, which are now available to us, and some of these were available when Brother Branham was here, that there are some things that happened and was recorded. And it wasn't just these manuscripts that we have here that people wrote. It was just these that were selected by the men. The New Testament at the Council of Nicaea, that they chose these 27 books. And the Old Testament, they chose those 200 years before Christ. And today, this collection of little books, scripture, because it was written, is called Biblion, and it's become known as Bible. And to us, it is holy. It is the authority of the church. It's what we believe. But this is not all that God did. But all that we need is in here. But this doesn't mean that there wasn't other things, because I can show you a number of places where, like one, it says, if all the things that he had done were written. In Thessalonians, it concludes there, it said, cause this book to be read. And he wrote it to the church in Thessalonica, but he commanded the church in Galatians to read it. The one in Ephesians, he said, read this. And if I had the books that they wrote there, that he mentioned there, I'd read those books to you. And if we had those by Paul, I'd say we ought to look at them and say what Paul said to this church. Read these things until all the church has heard them, he said. And you know yourself that even right now we can discover a tape of Brother Branham's that somebody didn't have. Here, 2 or 3 years ago, they found 4 or 5 tapes. Some brother had them that they didn't have them. Well, I know that when Brother Branham left us, we had 334. And I found 66 that a brother down in Louisiana had, and we took, and Brother Spark cleaned them up. And I remember how much everybody appreciated having them, because here's things the brother Branham said, and they took and added to them until today. I think they've got close to 1,200, 1,182, I think, the last time I heard an accurate count, but I'm sure they've got more than that now. But if we had it, and it's Brother Branham's voice, and it hadn't been doctored or spliced, we take it and we listen to it and we say, look at that, Brother Branham said it. And it becomes message to us.
Yes.
We don't call it, well, it was called scripture. The Bible was, because it was written in script. But if you're talking about it from an authority standpoint, I'd say that Brother Branham's tapes are scriptural.
Amen.
I believe they have just as much authority as Paul's script.
Amen.
The ones that he wrote.
Amen.
We called it tape library to begin with, but now spoken word and voice of God come along now, and they call it the table. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but people who follow the message now, they begin to say, well, this came from the table. Because that's the way the voice of God packaged it, putting out, this is the way that they present it, sold it, published it, duplicate it, not only on the cassettes, but then in the DVDs, or not DVDs, but the CDs, and it's called the table. I think it's even called that on the internet. This comes from the table.
Yeah.
But it's become an authority, you know, and it's like this. If you get the message and you read it from Word Publications, from Brother Momulus and Sister Momulus, or if you get it from one of the brothers that's transcribed it back in Blacksburg, Virginia, or somebody over here has made a quote book, because it's not the table, it's not authority. It even has gotten to the place to where if a tape is not duplicated or CD is not manufactured by, and I say it not facetiously, but Jeffersonville, is not anointed, it's pirated food, you shouldn't listen to it. I know brothers who accepted that challenge and said, okay, here's two. Which one is it? You can put it on a CD player and it'll play and you can't tell the difference. But that's the carnality of humanity.
Amen.
That's a trick of the devil just to create the confusion to where people won't be blessed by it. But when we read 1 Thessalonians 4, and Paul wrote this letter that you may not be confused about it, that you may understand that those which are dead in Christ, that Christ will bring them with him. If he died and was buried and rose again, then he will bring those with him also.
Amen.
And don't fear. They will come first. And Brother Branham goes on farther with us and tells us that they'll be here. Now, when we read about those that were raised, the Old Testament saints, which Brother Branham called a rapture. He called it a rapture of the Old Testament. Remember, he said there was three in the Old Testament and three in the New Testament. And he named off the Old Testament saints when they came forth that was one of the raptures. And everything's finished in threes. The last one is going to be Moses and Elijah. You know, the Jews from the streets of Jerusalem. And then the saints themselves, the bride. There's going to be three of the Old Testament and three of the New Testament. But when we realize that there was some that came forth in the Old Testament, and if they were on this earth for 40 days, what happened to those people? I mentioned to you this morning that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And I read to you proof that he attended a banquet. And I don't think he sat there in silence. I don't know that his sisters supported him. I believe that Silas, even after being dead and the body entering into corruption, until Martha said he stinketh, and he lived a while on earth, I believe Silas died. I mean, that Lazarus died again.
Yes.
And that he will or was in the resurrection.
Amen.
That is, if he died before the crucifixion. I don't know that. But I don't read anywhere where Lazarus gave an explanation of what his experience was while he was in the grave. I shared with you what a minister from Nigeria had shared, some of the things he said, and there wasn't any great revelation he did. People talk about when they die, well, they see a light, and there's this, but I haven't heard any of those things but when you talk about these Old Testament saints being here for 40 days, and we do have manuscripts where it talks about some of the things they did. And that's what I started reading to you. Sunday night was a week ago. And the book I chose to read you, the manuscript, was written by the man Nicodemus, which came to Jesus by night, and you must be born again. And after, try to think yourself, if you were alive at that time, and you were the age, and if you'd have been Pilate or Gamaliel or even Paul or Nicodemus or Pilate, some of those, and you'd heard these things, you'd have been curious. You'd have wanted to know, well, what really did happen? Joseph of Arimathea was there. The centurion was there. Truly, this was the Son of God. All those people had experiences. Look at us. Well, we've heard everybody from Brother Hickerson to Brother Wheeler to Brother Riley. They went fishing with Brother Branham. He said this, he did that. And we've sat on the edges of our seat that Brother Branham said that. But what about if we'd have been there when these things happened with those people? And we have an opportunity to read what Nicodemus actually recorded. And tonight I want to share some of that with you. But before I read what I want to read from Nicodemus, I want to give you the quotes of Brother Branham where he talks about the dead in Christ. Because it's not going to do you any good to know this unless you believe that when our loved ones come, there's going to be some activity. They're not just going to come in and be zombies and walk up and down the street. But Brother Branham explains there's going to be some things happening. Amen. And so let's take and read this, some of these statements that he talks about seeing our loved ones. And I'll call it the meeting of our loved ones. We started in 1949, December the 25th, paragraph 143, the deity of Jesus Christ. Father, if death should come to us before this that time, I mean the natural death of this earth, separation here, may we enter the chamber with a gallant faith, wrapping the robe of Christ around us, the Holy Ghost. Someday we got to come down there, Father, and I realize I got to walk that line too. It's right out there before me somewhere. That hour that I enter that death chamber, when I hear my sentence read, I don't want to go like a coward. I want to go like you went, Lord, not to try to wrap the old robe around, but wrap the robe of Christ, the Holy Ghost, around me, as Paul did, and say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Enter that dark chamber among those who are dead, listening then for his voice of the archangel that shall sound, and we'll be called out from among the dead to meet our loved ones again. No, Lord, if we miss that in life, life has been nothing to us. We failed. But if we find him who's precious in our heart, when we found all the purpose of God, how we love him this morning. May every Christian this morning see the vision quickly, Lord. The hour is getting late now, and I pray that you'll let them see the vision and take hold of life today and live forever, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Just the comment about seeing your loved ones. Now, questions and answers in 1962. May the 27th, page 715, question number 135. Now, if I thought he was coming in the morning, tonight I'd preach the same message I'm preaching now. If I thought he was coming in the morning, I shouldn't go out and sell my car. I wouldn't do that or the other. I just go right on as I ordinarily went because every moment I'm watching for him to come. Now, I failed to mention this morning, but the reason I explained to you about the school this morning is because there's some saying, well, if the Lord's coming, why don't we do anything? Well, you know, people still got to eat. Amen. Brother Branham said, if you know he's coming tomorrow, still plant your potatoes today. Yes. Paint your house, fix your roof, close the windows, wash your car, take care of the things. And that's all I was trying to say this morning. Right now at my age, it'd be easy to say, okay, I got it, babe. I've served the Lord. I don't have the energy. I don't have to do this to make heaven. I'm not earning my salvation. But I think we just need to continue to do something for God. And I think God has given us a wonderful opportunity. I'm very sincere about helping these children. And I don't think God's going to hold that against us. I want you people to understand it. Otherwise, you're not going to get a blessing out of it. But if you understand, such as you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me.
Amen.
That was the secret of Mother Teresa's ministry. When I read her life story, she was telling about one young nun that came over there to help her, and this man who was ill and a leprosy or cancerous or something, and she was trying to administer to this man, and she was sort of what I'd call dabbing at it, you know. Well, this needed wiping, and this over here was dirty on his face there. And Mother Teresa saw that, and she said, "Let me have it." And she just got right down there just like it was herself or one of her children. She wasn't afraid of contaminating herself. What would she have done if that was her Lord? And I think we ought to look at one another that way.
Yes.
Such as you've done it unto the least of one of these, you've done it unto me.
Amen.
Now, okay, I'll help them if it doesn't affect me. If it doesn't make my life any harder, or any more miserable, or I don't get contaminated. But listen, what would you do for Jesus?
Right.
It's like I tell the brothers a lot of time, well, you know, everybody would have washed Brother Branham's feet. We had an incident of that in this church one time. A brother refused, you know, he refused to wash some feet. And I just told him, I said, "Brother, you're welcome to do that. You can take communion if you wash Brother Linhart's feet." And he just said, "I wouldn't wash that hypocrite's feet." Throwed the bread and the wine back on the table and walked out the door. Never come back to church again. Went all over the world telling people that Perry Green's a dirty, stinking, rotten hypocrite. Deceiving, lying hypocrite. And he went over to Brother McHugh's church, and Brother McHugh challenged him about communion and the same thing. And he told Brother McHugh, he said, you're a stinking, lying, dirty hypocrite, Perry Green Jr. And Brother McHugh asked him, "Brother, now I know what a hypocrite is, and I know what a liar is, but what is a Perry Green Jr.?" And I've told Brother McHugh, I said, "Brother, you have been called the lowest name in this world, a Perry Green Jr." But you know what? I had to love Brother Ben Bryant. When I tried to correct him over at Shreveport because of the confusion he's causing, well, he just created such a confusion. And that very night, he screamed out publicly to Brother Bryant, "I love you, prophet." And Brother Bram stops and says, "Now there's my brother Ben, sitting right there, a veteran of the war, got that shrapnel there rubbing his nerve and everything else." And I had tried to correct him. And he created such a stink and a stir that everybody in the church saw it. And I felt about that big. And then when Brother Bram said what he did, I felt there, nothing. But that didn't make me right. But what attitude should we have toward each other?
Amen.
You know why I have the attitude about Brother Ben Bryant that I did? Because Brother Bryant told me about it. He told me how Brother Ben came in church and he always had a seat up on the front, and there was some colored sister had been let into church early and had sat down in that pew. And Ben, when he came pushing his way in, everything, he got there, she had his seat. And so he sits down behind her, and he had this big Thompson chain Bible. And what I'm telling you, Brother Bram told me. And Brother Bram said, I'd get to preaching, and Ben said he rolled that big Bible up. And one time he said something, Ben said, "Bless God!" And he hit that sister and knocked her cold right out in the room. Brother Bram told me, he said, "Brother Green, I thought he'd killed her. I thought I was going to have to pray for God to raise her from the dead." But then Brother Branham never reacted to it like that, like you or I would.
Amen.
Forbid him to come. Janice and I could not go in a restaurant eat in this city if he was in there. But you know what? I'm planning on spending eternity with him.
Amen.
He was a test to see if I was a Christian or not. Brother Branham said he's going to be there. Where do we get this idea, though, that because people can be so wrong, that makes us right? I think it just finds out how wrong we can be.
Amen.
with ourselves. Now, with the situation of us of loving one another and how we do that, we just must be careful about our attitude with each other.
Yes.
Now, when we see the Lord, Brother Billy said tonight in his prayer, Lord, what a wonderful day that's going to be. But what about when we see our loved ones?
Amen.
Brother Bram said, that's what's going to change us. I'm going to read you that. When you begin to see them, that's what's going to change us.
Amen.
It's going to let us know how real this really is. Now, let's go to the second quote that he got about here. If I thought he was coming, he said, I wouldn't go out and sell my car. In other words, live your life like you got 100 years. Conduct your business. On the other hand, I just go right on as I ordinary went, because every moment I'm watching for him to come, because he might come just for you. It might be your hour. It might be tonight. Maybe it's my hour tonight. I don't know. But one of them's going to be our hour. And what difference does it make if I'm living here or if I'm buried out yonder? For if I am already paid the penalty of death, I'll be there before any man that's a living.
Amen.
Look at Brother Bram said, I'm not worried about missing it.
Yes.
If I go before you do, I'll beat you there.
Yes.
The only place I really find him being competitive. That's right. I say this, 2 Thessalonians 5th chapter, I say this to you in commandments of the Lord. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, and it's 1 Thessalonians 4, shall not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The privilege of those that are dead will come forth first. That's how we know, but it's at the hand, see. Then we which are alive, look, wait a minute, I want you to catch that. That's how we know that it's at the hand. Now, what is that saying to you? That is the way that we will know for certain that he's coming, is because we will see them.
Yes.
When you see that happen, then you will know. There won't be any question about, well, is he coming or is he not coming, or is this another false alarm? No, when we see them, it is the sign, it is at hand.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
That's what that says to me.
Amen.
That's how we know that it's at the hand. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So what difference does it make if I died in the time of Noah, if I died in the time of Abraham, if I died in the time of apostles, if I died 2 weeks ago or right now? What difference would it make? I'll be there in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I'm only resting until that time.
Yes, amen.
Now, in 1951, my commission, paragraph 6, and so many of our dear people are sending me invitations to come and go to dinner with them. I certainly wish I could do it for everyone, and I would like to do that, but it's kind of hard for me to do. I'm afraid to go with one and not the other one. It might make them think that I thought a little more of that one than did the other one, and I don't. But I love all of you, and I want you to love me. And if we love the Lord, we'll feel that way about each other.
Yes.
If we love the Lord, we'll feel that way about each other. And then someday I'm going to go to dinner with all of you. Won't that be wonderful? Now just think, after the battle's all over and the smoke's died down, we come up, meet our loved ones, and then meet him. We sat down at the table across from each other. Won't that be wonderful? There'll never be a crutch or a wheelchair around the table. Never know. Oh, won't that be marvelous?
Yes.
Brother Bram told me an experience. I haven't heard him mention it on the tape, but he said this man went to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It was in a dream. And there was a group of people there that one place he had, the people, everybody had broken arms, and their arms was in a cast. And in one room, the people was all sitting there starving. But in the other one, the people were happy and rejoicing, and they all had broken arms and arms in crutches. And the difference in the two rooms was, is one of them was believers, and the other were ungodly people. The ungodly people would not feed each other, but the believers were feeding each other.
Amen.
You ever heard that story?
Amen.
But you think about it.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do if we got the right attitude? We'll be concerned about the other one.
Yes.
Right.
We don't want them to be left behind. We want to do for them as we'd have them do unto us.
Amen.
If somebody's down, that's the time to help them.
Amen.
Not the time to say, what are you going to do for me? Okay. Mother's Day, 1959, May the 10th, paragraph 60. Then I think of when we see them standing yonder, our loved ones, our mothers, our kindreds, all our friends, and to see them in their immortal bodies, their celestial bodies, watching their character. Now, what's this? Watching their character. Seeing how they conduct themselves with that sweetness and quietness. No more nervous or frustrations. To see them in standing in the likeness of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That'll be a wonderful day.
Yes.
And each one of us in our minds are anticipating and longing for that hour of consolation when we meet them. Each one is thinking of their loved ones. Maybe their mother that's gone on, and what a day it'll be when you see her again. And to dad and to brother and to all the loved ones, what a day it will be. 1965. Now notice now that we're getting to the end of Brother Branham's life and ministry. This is not something that just he thought about and then forgot. This is something he really began to emphasize at the end of his life. Paragraph 34. Now, this young man had, and he had a religious teaching. See, that was far beyond what some of them had, because they don't have religious teaching. But this young man had religious teaching because he said he kept the commandments since he was a boy. It's when Jesus asked him, did you know these commandments? Now, you all got good religious teachers too, each one of you. And you little teenage girls and boys, you all had good teachers. Your father and mother here in this camp got everything that you, every potential that you know that's possible for you to make a real good man and woman, a servant to God. Because remember, when you're going to die someday, or either be translated into heaven, and if you die before his coming, you'll be raptured first.
Amen.
Did you know that? Did you know those who are dead, if mama and papa dies before you do, and Jesus doesn't come in our generation, do you know these, papa and mama, will come forth first, glorified before you? See, the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. We'll be changed in it like that. We've got to remember, that's the main thing in life. You understand now, that's the main thing in life we got to do is to get ready to meet God.
Amen. Yes.
Uniting Time and Sign, 1963. Notice, after the seals. August the 18th, paragraph 125. Lord Jesus, as my poor heart jumps for joy, as I see the possibilities of me, a middle-aged man, but yet the possibilities of me seeing you come in this generation, to be alive and stand here and see when that trumpet sound. He that's filthy is filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. O Lord God, to think of us standing in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the world won't know what's going on, but all of a sudden, you'll see appear before you your loved ones that's gone on and has come to unite with you again.
Amen.
And we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air, and then unite with him to be there forever and never to have to be out of his presence again.
Amen.
The 10 virgins. Now, this is back in 1960, December the 11th in the morning, paragraph 141. It'll be a secret coming. No one will know when it's going to happen. We're commanded to be ready and watching.
Yes.
We don't know what hour, but whatever it is, will not prevent any of those back in here, for just as soon as Jesus appears, the whole watch rises. Dead or alive, doesn't matter. We don't meet him first. We meet one another first.
Amen.
The Bible says, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it said, for look what he says, Ephesians 5th chapter. Where is it? 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Amen. Come on.
Amen. Yes.
For we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, down here, shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, them precious ones that seal their blood, seal their testimony with their blood, not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. For the trumpet will sound, something will take place. The gospel. Something will sound, the announcing of his coming. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Standing and feel a change come on. The gray hair go out, the wrinkles fall away. Be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we shall meet our loved ones first. There's Mama, Papa, there's my buddy. Hallelujah, we're ready. And then together with them that are dead, says the Scripture,
amen,
we'll be caught up in the air to meet the Lord.
Amen.
The order of his coming.
Yes.
So do not expect to see Jesus until you've seen your loved ones.
Yes. Amen.
How can I overcome? 1963, August the 25th in the morning, paragraph 21. And I got in my little old Ford and started up the road to Ohio as hard as I could go, and didn't know one of my wheels out of alignment, ripped the tire off of it. And so then I getting up there, coming out of a filling station about 11 o'clock, I was worried about him. I love him, and I know if it continues on, the Lord tarries, well, sooner or later, we're going to have to give each other up. He's talking about, I think, going to see Brother Dow. But that won't hurt the rapture now, see? No, they come first then. Them are privilege that's going on. They come first. See, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye,
amen,
and with them shall be caught up together.
Amen.
See, the ones that goes first are privileged above those that are living. Now, there's no way that if you believe what Brother Brim says, you can believe that you're going to be raptured alive from this earth before you see the others. Because he just says it too many times. Is your life worthy of the gospel? 1963, June the 30th in the evening, paragraph 62. Now somebody said, now, there's going to be a mark of the beast that's going to come someday. Let me tell you, it's already come. See, as soon as the Holy Ghost began to fall, the mark of the beast began to take place. See, you only have two things. One of them is accept it, takes the seal of God. To reject it takes the mark of the beast.
Yes.
To reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. Everybody understand? To reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. For the Bible said all them that was not sealed by the seal of God took the mark of the beast. Now when the trumpet sounded and all wanted to go free could go. Them that didn't was marked. Now you see the mark of the beast that we talk about in the future is when it's going to be made manifest, when you realize it's what you've already done. See, and so is the Holy Spirit. It's to be manifested when we see the Lord Jesus coming in glory and feel that transforming power and see the dead rising out of the grave and know that in a second longer we'll be changed and have a body like his.
Amen.
It'll be made manifest. Then to see those who rejected it will be left down, out.
Amen.
And they will not rise again for 1,000 years. Now, recognizing your day, 1964, July the 26th in the morning, paragraph 234. Oh, won't that be a time? Just walking along someday, you just hear somebody. Who is it? Mother?
Amen.
It ain't going to be long now.
Amen.
Just in a few minutes, you're changed. And we'll meet them and then be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, say, here's Brother Seward, the old brother that used to be at church here. Well, here's Brother D'Arc. Here's Brother, say, why? Looky here. They're all around me. What's the matter? You're just in a few minutes. I know they've done appeared to me. It ain't going to be long now. I want to ask you, are you ready to believe this?
Amen. Yes.
I know it's going to happen in just a few minutes because I've seen this. You understand what Brother Bram's telling us? It's going to happen. When you see that, you can say, I'm going to be changed. Now, what if you refuse to believe it? Well, look at me. Well, yeah, that looks like him, you know, but that's not exactly the way I look at him. He just favors him. But you see, when you believe it, because it becomes the word, it's thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
But now, some can believe some kind of a revelation. This part hooks to that part, this part comes to that part, and this part means that part, and they can't run it by you twice the same way. But yet, he says here that when you see this, you're not going to understand it, but you're going to believe it, and you're going to look at it and say, now I know it's happening. It ain't going to be long now. I'm going to be changed now, just in a moment. When the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, all the mystic clouds. 1964, August the 23rd. Page 934, paragraph 58. Now the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be an awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now, not those that are asleep in sin, because they sleep right on. They don't wake for another 1,000 years. But those who are sleeping in the dust, will be wakened first. And then these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption.
Amen.
In the rapturing grace of the Lord.
Yes.
Now, do you understand why I cannot accept the teaching? Why I don't accept it? That the rapture took place in 63.
Amen.
I've not heard of this happening anywhere.
Amen.
But why is it being taught? Why is it being believed? Why was I booed in out of the? And I didn't sit down because I'm just that way. But they tried to boo me out of the pulpit in Congo because I tried to show them that was not the rapture. I've not heard of anybody being changed or of a dead in Christ rising. This is just too emphatic for me.
Amen.
I can understand people's enthusiasm, but I don't understand them refusing the facts. Now, could it be mark of the beast or blasphemy? Brother Bram said to reject, receive or reject. The ones I'm responsible for, I want you to know this is a surety. The dead in Christ are going to rise first.
Amen.
And the second surety is that when you see that happen, then you can know
yes.
that the rapture's on.
Amen.
And it's not just going to be one day. Brother Bram said to me, a minimum of 30 days.
Yes.
He says it a couple of times on tape. But there's going to be some things. Now just since you're people who love me and I love you, and you'll understand that, as Brother Bram said, sometimes it's presuming and speculating. But you know what? I'm not against the people who believe in a tent vision. I just don't understand their interpretation of the tent vision. If this tent was as big as Brother Bram said it was, you know, there's going to be a gathering together. I can see us somewhere.
Amen.
I can see them needing 747s to bring people there. And I'll probably be one help charter. I'm not objected to that. You'd say, oh, it won't be that way. We'll travel as a thought. Fine with me too.
Yeah.
But let God interpret it. By bringing it to pass. Don't put somebody else out of the message and refuse to fellowship them and call them brother or sister because they don't interpret it the same way you do.
Amen.
Take what he says and know this, that the dead in Christ will rise first.
Amen.
and we will see them, and then we will know.
Yes,
I tell you what, let a few examples of this happen, and you'll find out everybody's wanting to get together somewhere.
Amen.
I mentioned to you this morning the crowds that Brother Branham had in Bombay and what he saw in Durban and everything else. What do you think if the word went out from here that we had seen some of our loved ones here? And we knew this was taking place, and all of a sudden Brother Green wasn't an old man, but he was slim and trim, and Sister Green just thought, that's my lemon if I never squeeze him. That's what she thought the first time she saw my picture. So her classmate says. Janice's memory don't work that way. But her roommate, Sue Campbell, told me this, what Janice said the first time she saw my picture in the hallway. That's my lemon if I never squeeze him. I liked it, so I remembered. And I tell you what, if I looked now like I did then, she'd feel the same way. She's shaking her head yes. If she's not, she must have a crick in her neck. How many of you believe you're going to see your loved ones?
Yes.
Amen.
They're not going to be old men, old women. They're not going to be crippled. They're not going to be deformed. They're not going to be little babies. They're not going to be sick. They're not going to have gray hair. Folks, just a minute. Close your eyes and think, what effect will this have on you?
Amen.
When you see that happen.
Amen.
Don't you think it'll cause something to change in you?
I think it'll
change everybody's attitude. There'd be no personal empires. God knows how carnal we are. And in his great predestinated sovereign plan, he designed this for us. And the people in the early church were wondering, well, what about the people who didn't grow? And God let them have the first church. I mean, and said, look, don't worry about them. The dead in Christ will rise first. But here in the last day, in the seventh church age, our messenger came along, and look at the details he gave us. It just sounds almost unbelievable that no wrinkles, no gray hair, no deformity, no sickness, no illness. Now don't tell me you can comprehend that. But there's something in your heart that says, I believe it's true.
Amen.
But Charlie's sitting right there knowing that you got this promise.
Amen.
Isn't it something worth hanging on to? In this hour and time when struggle and trials and tests and persecution and everything, we've got this hope,
yes,
this promise.
Thank you, Lord.
And even having, and don't tell me you're not going to enjoy it.
Amen.
Now, you're probably going to take a vacation during that 30 days. You're not going to go to work. You're not going to worry about paying off a credit card. You're going to enjoy your line of credit. You know, they're not going to have time to foreclose on your house or repo your car. You're not going to be dishonest or a thief either. And not everybody's going to believe you. In fact, you walk into your place of employment and you've been changed, and they're not going to know you. You say, Brother Green, you've gone overboard now. Not any more than Brother Branham did.
Amen.
It's either going to happen or this is all fictitious. And then we'll all get together. And then when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death. But just of a sudden, there'll be like a sweep go over us. And you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was. Now what was that? His body was dead. He couldn't have a child. But he went from an old man to a young man. From an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought. There he tells us, doesn't it? And you can see those men who are already resurrected. What hour? Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, Lord. What travel agency, tour company, ever offered anything like this? A spa that restores youth. Testimony of Shreveport, Louisiana, 1963, November the 28th, paragraph 7. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Did you notice the order of the resurrection? Shall be caught up together with them. We meet each other before we meet him. Now look, he stopped and injected that again. We meet each other before we meet him. Yes. Be caught up together to meet them, with them, to meet the Lord in the air. See, he's God. And then when he wants to be worshipped, that's why his very nature is to be worshipped, because he's God. Amen. Is to be worshipped because he's God. And he knows if we were there, be looking out of the corner of your eyes, see if the other one's there. But, and then, it wouldn't be the complete way of free worship. When we stand there and we know we've met each other first and greeted each other, and then to stand by him who caused it all and sing the songs of redemption. As Brother Jack has many times made the statement, when angels will circle the earth with bowed heads, not knowing what we're talking about. See, because they never been redeemed. But we had to be redeemed. And how we'll crown him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Tampa, Florida, paradox. April the 18th, E118. I was here at that service. Thank you for your kindness way over time, and I feel that I'm responsible. If there's any difference to be paid than what there was for the hall this morning, I'll pay it myself. We will make it right. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Notice the form of the rapture, how it will be. We meet one another before we meet him. Look how many times Brother Branham mentions it in the 60s. Because he know that when we got there, I'd be wondering if you were there, you wondering if I was there, but the Bible said, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them. What a worship it'll be at that time. Now caught up together with them. Now, we become part of that before that time comes, catching up into the rapture. Yes. Folks, can we yet comprehend it? How many times have we heard it tonight?
Amen. Amen.
But it's going to happen.
Amen.
Notice the order of the resurrection and the rapture. Is that all of them?
Yes, it is.
How many of you say, Lord, I believe?
Amen.
Lord, I believe that I will see my loved ones. And when I see them and I observe them, I will know the time is at hand. And thank you, Lord, for being merciful to me. That you know that I am carnal, and you know that I need just this extra time Lord, to stop and remove all my doubt, remove all questions, and say, I know in whom I have believed. Amen. And I am persuaded that what he said is true. And you said you would come, and Lord, you're coming because I see my loved ones that you said would be changed.
Yes.
And now, Lord, in a moment, I can't look at my watch fast enough. It's going to happen. Now, we sing, oh, I know our Lord is coming back to earth again. But I know that our loved ones that are asleep in Christ are going to rise first.
Yes.
Nobody's written a song about it, but I think we ought to sing one. I think it ought to be on our heart that we know in whom we have believed.
Yes.
And I'm persuaded that he's able to do that which he said. Now, he gave that to Paul. He gave Brother Branham these explanations, and I believe this is just as much a part of the table, a part of Brother Branham's message, as anything we have. The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
And we which are alive and remain shall see them.
Amen.
And be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know, somewhere or another it comes across, I'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed. Am I just making it up now, or do I know a song like that? Does anybody know a song that goes like that? How many say, think, I'll be changed? I'll be changed. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then somebody's going to write me a song about that. We're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Come on, say it with me. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. I'm going to see my loved ones. We're going to be caught up together. We'll see Jesus together. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. These old bodies are going to be changed. That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to be changed.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to go any farther with Nicodemus tonight. If you feel like I left you hanging, good, then maybe you'll come back again. God bless you. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. You don't like my song. I'm going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. Come on, some of you folks is talented. Rachel, you can write songs. Write Brother Green a song. I'm going to be changed. Are you writing one now? You got one? Huh? Do what? Oh, I'm going to be gone. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be gone. I won't have time to say goodbye. I'm going to be gone. It could be while I'm singing this song. I'm going to be gone and it won't be long. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'll be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be gone. I won't have time to say goodbye. I'm going to be gone. It could be while I'm singing this song. I'm going to be gone, and it won't be long. I'm going to be gone. Now, there's a little something about that bothers me, because we're going to be here a while.
There you go.
I'm going to be changed. Could be while I'm singing this song. I'm going, and it won't be long. I'm going to be chained in the twinkling of an eye, and I won't have time to say goodbye. But there's that 40-day period there somewhere. But at least the thought's there, isn't it, huh?
Amen.
Let's stand and sing it. I'm going to be chained in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be chained, and I won't have time to say goodbye. I'm going to be chained. While I'm singing this song, I'm going to be changed. game. I'm gonna be tamed. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be tamed. I'll be here at the bottom. I'm gonna be tamed. It took me while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be tamed, and it won't be long. I'm gonna be tamed. Now, how'd you get that in there? I'll be here about a month. Let me see how the time goes. I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be changed. I'll be here about a month. I'm going to be changed. It could be while I'm singing this song. I'm going to be changed, and it won't be long. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be changed. While I'm singing this song, I'm going to be changed, and it won't be long. I'm going to be changed.
Amen.
I believe we're going to be changed when the resurrection takes place. Amen. We're going to see our loved ones.
Amen.
Are you persuaded?
Amen.
Without doubt.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Nobody's going to come along tomorrow and tell you the Lord's going to come and take you away before you see your loved ones. You know, I think it's important that we get things in the right place.
Amen.
What if somebody had come along and tried to say that, well, Moses and Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, then you and I couldn't believe Malachi 4 nowadays, because it's been already fulfilled before Brother Bram's time. And I think that's what people have tried to do with us now, that they've tried to say, well, this happened in 63. And I don't want to harp about the difference of everything, but I'm just convinced that the order of the rapture is that there's going to be the dead in Christ rise first.
Amen.
And for me, I need them.
Amen. Yes.
I need that event.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say that.
No. Amen.
Or God wouldn't have put it in the Word. And didn't Brother Branham say we needed it because God knew we were carnal, be looking out the corner of our eye wondering, well, did Janice make it? Is she here somewhere? But we meet first, and then we can really worship Him.
Amen.
They made it. I made it.
Yes.
I'm going to be changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. God bless you. Made it through both services today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I just feel like singing, "Have Thy Own Way, Lord." Have Thy Own Way. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful, O God, in our hearts. As Brother Billy prayed at the beginning, and Brother Aaron today, Lord, that how good you've been to us. We recognize our shortcomings and our failures and our doubts. But Lord, let your word be repeated unto us until we know that you have supplied our every need. You're going to take all that away from us. You're going to change these vile, mortal bodies. You're going to make them into your glorified body like it's supposed to be. We'll have a new life. We'll have a new body. Because we're going to spend eternity in your presence. We can't do it in the carnal condition we're in now. But I believe that with you all things are possible. We still have carnal desires and pleasures we seek in this life. But Lord, let us just get a glimpse now of the precious things, the invaluable things that's in store for us. There's no way we could comprehend what it is. But you still promised it for us. And tonight I just thank you, Lord, for being good enough to us to let us hear it again. To know in whom we have believed. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. You love him tonight? I love him so. I failed to mention it this morning, but I've been in touch with Brother Caleb the last couple of days, and he and Brother Martin seem to have contacted some that has affected their physical body. You know, Brother Branham had this anemia when he went to Africa, and he suffered with it, and I've had it once or twice myself. I've just learned, I guess from experience, or maybe I built an immunity to it, but in Mexico, they call it Montezuma's revenge, but it can be dangerous. And Caleb and Martin spent time in El Salvador, and those people's bodies built up an immune to it, but these brothers went down there, they were just exposed to it. And I understand that Brother Martin and Brother Caleb drank some fresh cream that Brother Steve Buckles did not partake of, and he doesn't seem to be bothered with it, so they're assuming that it probably came from that cream, and it's just a parasite that was in the food products and in their body, and we just need to take control of that and rebuke it in the name of the Lord. Amen. That these brothers will not suffer, because it not only is painful and discomforting, but it's also dangerous. It's life-threatening, so please remember them in your prayers, and let's sing Have Faith in God tonight. Have faith in God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we're going to believe you to touch their bodies, heal them. We rebuke the evil spirit that would touch their flesh. In the name of the Lord Jesus, set them free. Amen. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you tonight. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, you're dismissed. God bless you.